Well, good evening, and good evening again. We praise God for each of you who are joining us tonight for our Bible study. We call it our Monday Manna, and we hope and pray that you will get a clear signal and a good connection as we prepare for what God yet has in store for us tonight. And we're certainly grateful for how God continues to sustain us and bless us even in spite of ourselves. Aren't you excited tonight that God continues to look beyond our faults and he gets right to our needs? And so I bless his name tonight, and I'm honored and grateful that God has continued to include me in his plan. Let us know that you're getting a clear signal tonight. I'm riding solo for the first part of our study tonight. Lady Kim had to run out and take care of a little situation, but she'll probably join us before we get to the end of our study tonight. But we're certainly grateful for all that God is doing, all that he's done, and all that he will do. For the Bible reminds us over and over again, as we read his word and as we continue to apply that word to our lives, that he's faithful and he's just, and he will not put more on us than we could bear, that his promises are sure, and his satisfaction is yet guaranteed. Someone text me and let me know that you're on and that you're getting a good signal. I'm trying to manage both these devices tonight, but I'm going to stick with what's in front of me as we prepare for this time together. We're going to be in Leviticus chapter 18. That's right, Leviticus chapter 18, as we make our way tonight. And so I'm getting the text coming too. It says it's not streaming on the Facebook side. So, Theron, can you encourage people to go to our streaming platform as we continue to move forward tonight? And so we're certainly grateful for that. And thank you for Jet reminding us and keeping us abreast of what's happening with our Facebook Live. But we're in Leviticus, the 18th chapter tonight. And we're going to continue to move through this time together. There are about, let's see, how many verses do we have? There are about 31 verses in this 18th chapter of Leviticus. And so we're going to move through that. I'm not going to try to read all of that tonight, but just want to share some interesting highlights and talk about a few things that I think will be applicable to us as believers, and how we can relate this particular chapter to what God is saying to us. And, you know, even before we go any further, we want to have prayer tonight, just trying to make sure we're getting signals and they're not coming through, as Theron has already indicated. But let's have a word of prayer. God, we're extremely grateful for this day. We thank you for our lives. Thank you for your Spirit's abiding presence, and we thank you for being God and God alone, and we're confident in the fact that in you we do live, move, and have our being, and we understand clearly that you promised in your word that you would never leave us nor forsake us. You said you'd be with us always, even until the end, and so we can go forward knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that your promises are sure and your satisfaction is yet guaranteed. So God, even as we have gathered together tonight for this time of study, we ask that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our redeemer. We love you tonight. We honor you and we bless your name. It's in the powerful and marvelous and matchless name of Jesus, even the risen Christ, we pray. And those who love God said amen. As we've already indicated, we're having technical difficulties tonight with our Facebook Live, but you can go to the streaming platform in order to pick this time up together for our study. Well, yesterday, we had an exciting time in the Lord. For those of you who were able to view or able to be present as we gathered for the time that God afforded us, excellent Bible study, Sunday school before we even went into worship. And the Spirit of the Lord was moving in a powerful and a mighty way on yesterday as we looked at Psalm 23. Very familiar passage of scripture, one that we hold dear in our memory banks, and many of us have already memorized, and we've heard it preached and taught, and we also use it as a part of our spiritual discipline as believers. But it still speaks to us afresh and anew, and we ought not ever allow what we have heard in the past to hinder us from having God to do something special and having him to move in our lives in a different way. The word is true. The word is the same. He's promised in his word that, you know, we would not return unto him void. And so many times when we get hear a word that we're familiar with, or when we read a scripture, or we hear preaching from a scripture that we're familiar with, sometimes we lock ourselves into what we've already heard. But God is yet still speaking, and he's still moving, and he's still providing additional information as well as inspiration for the word. And so we ought not never shut down or close down when we hear something, particularly with this 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me besides the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. Hallelujah. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. You already know that scripture, but we talked about a strange place to be blessed. That's what we used as a sermon topic on yesterday, a strange place to be blessed. And just kind of walk through that 23rd Psalm and just really focused in on a couple of things, because David was really probably, no doubt, if you open your mind, he was in a reflective mode, and he began to think back over everything he had perhaps gone through, and maybe coming to the close of his life and the end of his ministry. But he began to see God as a good shepherd and a gratuitous host. That's what really was the emphasis of the text on yesterday, and how God began to speak to David even as he was sharing this very important message that was coming through the 23rd Psalm. One of the things that we really honed in on was that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And so David was clear in terms of understanding that. But we got to that second verse where it says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And many times, I think, as we tried to emphasize on yesterday, God has to make us lie down, and he has to slow us up, because sometimes in life we get in such a hurry trying to achieve and trying to be successful that we end up running right past the blessing that God already has for us. And so we ought not ever getting ahead of God in such a hurry that God has to make us lie down. And so we find that David, in his pursuit, God had to settle him and center him and make him lie down in the midst of what he was going through, so that he could enjoy the blessing that God had for him. And so many times I believe we forget that God has already designated and designed blessings for us. He's already gone before us. That's what a good shepherd does. He goes before us. He's already gone before us. He already knows what we are going through long before we get there. And so I think the investment, and God was speaking in such a way to David here, that he did not want to lose sight of the fact that what he had invested in David would be missed by him being in such a hurry to go past that which he has already prepared for him. And so it is with us in life. We ought not be in a hurry till we forget to listen to the voice of God. The word decrees and declares that he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of the true and living God is yet saying unto the church. And so we have to listen. We have to make sure that we are focused and that we don't get in such a hurry till we miss what God has in store for us and what he's already prepared for us. And so just like he did for David, many times he does for us. He has to slow us down. He has to make us lie down. He has to make us see the blessing, because too much has been invested that we can run right past what God already has in store for us. And then we went on down and we just talked a little bit about the shadow of death and how, you know, many times we go into that valley of the shadow of death and we think that that's the end. But it did not say that that was the end. You know, you may be in a situation where it looks like and it feels like, you know, everything is closing in on you and that everything is coming to an end. But God has promised that he would see us through. He has promised that he would never leave us nor forsake us. He said, and then also he would never put more on us than we could bear. So if it seems like we're in a valley and you're trusting God, know that part of your commitment and your desire to please him will many times lead you into what seems like the valley of the shadow of death. But here it is, you're not going to settle there. God did not call you to settle there. You're coming out. Come on, somebody say, I'm coming out. Yeah, you're coming out on the other side. So you have to hold on to God's unchanging hand. There's victory on the other side. There's power on the other side. There's his presence is on the other side. Even in the midst of what you're going through, the fullness of God and his presence is available in the midst of the valley. But the fullness of God will be revealed even as he's doing what he needs to get done in you as you're going through. Somebody say amen. And so the interesting thing about this valley, he prepares the table before you in the presence of your enemies. I see Lady Kim's coming. Are you ready, Lady Kim? And so part of what we understand here and we're clear about is that even in the midst of what we might be going through, God will prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Isn't that good news for somebody? Because many times we think that it's going to be difficult. It's going to be hard for us to really make sense of everything that we're going through. And God has already made arrangements for us in terms of us getting through what looks like a struggle. And he prepares something in the front of us that will give us the confidence and the boldness that we need to know that he hadn't forgotten about us. I tell you, somebody tonight, Lady Kim, might be going through a very difficult time and they're going through what looks like the end. But God says, don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. I haven't forgotten about you. Hold on, because help is on the way. And if you don't give up, God will show up. And we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he doesn't show up, he'll send two angels, one called goodness and another called mercy. So surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives. Hallelujah. And we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So Lady Kim, we're just kind of reflecting on the words from yesterday. We hadn't gotten into this study yet. And I know we're having difficulties with our Facebook feed. But Darren has already put something out and we're going to continue to move forward with the streaming side. And we hope those of you who are joining us can pick us up on the streaming side as we talk about what's happening in this 18th chapter of Leviticus. Anything that you heard as you were traveling, Lady Kim, we know that you were on the road coming back yesterday as we were in worship and the people miss you in the service, and they celebrated the fact that you had brought closure to your doctoral program and you finished successfully defending your dissertation. And so they were celebrating even in your absence. But you know, it's something different about when you're not there. And couple of people asked me, was I all right and all that kind of stuff. I said, what, I'm not supposed to be all right? I mean, what's up with that? Yeah. But no, we certainly missed you yesterday in your presence and your spirit in the worship experience. But was there anything that you were maybe able to hear or pick up as you were making your way?
No, because I joined at the beginning of service, and okay. I was able to stay on until the prayer, and then we had our own worship service.
Okay.
So I jumped offline, and then when I got back online, you were on the at the end of the service.
Okay.
So I kind of missed what right. was sandwiched in the middle there.
Okay. Well, we had a great time in the Lord, and as we were sharing, that 23rd Psalm is one that's familiar to all of us. And many of us grew up, of course, perhaps all of us did, memorizing those six verses. And it's really a staple in our devotional as well as our, you know, whatever we do in terms of our disciplines. That's one of the key psalms that we can hang our hat on, because it gives us everything that we need to know that even in the face of what might seem like a dead end, God has not forsaken or forgotten us. And so we want to jump then into the study for tonight. But as I indicated on the beginning, we're not going to try to read all of these verses. This is the 18th chapter of Leviticus, but we want to just really kind of focus on some finer points in terms of how this chapter is relevant to believers today. Because as we indicated last week, God is really moving away from all of the different things that were set up leading up to this 18th chapter in terms of the do's and the don'ts. And he was very strict in terms of the particular order of what he wanted to happen when it came to the sacrifices and when it came to remembering those things that he had put in place for the believers. But now he's moving into a whole nother arena. And he's in a real sense setting a higher standard for the people here so that they can get a true sense of what it means to worship him and what God requires of them and how important it is for their behavior. I say this almost every week, to match their belief and how they have to maintain proper protocol and process in terms of relationships and what God requires of them, even in their relationships. He's already laid out a lot of things for the priest and for the believers, well, for the children of Israel. And now he's trying to get them to understand the importance and the significance of relationships.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And so this whole 18th chapter talks about the laws of sexual relationships. I know you, there are 30 verses, and you said we're just going to do a kind of recap on those 30 verses. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. So I didn't think it'd be necessary for us to read all of it, and I didn't know at what point you were going to be able to join us. But you're more than welcome to share what you want to share as it relates to what the Lord has said to you in terms of those verses. But when you talk about, for me, it's about relationships, mm-hmm. and I think that's the key in terms of what God is trying to establish here. And even though he goes into some things that, like you just indicated, we know that God is a God of relationships, mm-hmm. and that the Bible is a book about relationships. And so one of the things that is clear to me is that we are people of relationships. And so we need guidelines and guardrails, if you will, to help us hear clearly what God is saying to us as it relates to proper protocol and divine patterns that he set in place. And so even though we find ourselves not living in that culture that he established these principles, there's still something within us that we have to abide by in terms of us bringing glory and honor to God and for our behavior to be pleasing in His eyesight.
Amen. That's right. And one of the things that was happening during this time is that the people were worshiping pagan gods.
Okay.
And He wanted to set a standard in place by which they were to worship Him and Him alone, and how they were not to follow what the pagans, how they were worshiping, how the Canaanites and the Egyptians were worshiping the pagan gods.
Okay.
So that's when He set down guidelines for strict relationships.
Okay.
And like you said, not only relationships with one another, but relationship with God the Father Himself.
Okay. All right. So, you know, one of the dearest and most important relationships that needs to be established is our vertical relationship with God. And the Bible is clear that when it talks about seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and He says all these other things shall be added unto us. And if we don't have proper vertical relationship, then our horizontal relationships really won't last very long. They'll start falling apart, and then we'll try to go back and fix that which we could have really handled from the very outset. And so I think it is true even in what God is saying by Him raising a higher standard for the children of Israel in this text, is that that has to be paramount. And there are some protocols and some processes that ought not be overlooked. And people oftentimes, they want to, you know, do things their way and try to please God. But we have to do it God's way if we want to see the smile of God on what we're trying to accomplish.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So the other part here is that, as you talked about, this 18th chapter is regarding sexual morality and the importance of honoring God's standards and relationships. And so for the believer, I think it reminds us again of the significance and the importance of upholding purity and respect and holiness in our interactions and in our intimate relationships with each other. And so one of the key verses, and maybe you want to share that, is that fourth verse, but you can read as much of it as you would like. But that's one of the key verses that really emphasizes the call of obedience and our living and the command, you know, to live according to His standard.
Amen. So the fourth verse in the 18th chapter says, "Ye shall do my judgments and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God."
Mm-hmm. So it's established. He's already laid down the foundation. And so now He's asking them to allow their lives to align with that which He's already commanded of them, in terms of them not trying to do it their own way, but them trying, making sure that they can live according to what God has already set in motion.
Mm-hmm. And one thing I see about this chapter is that, you know, there's nothing new under the sun.
Yeah.
Everything that's going on now was going on back then. And God wanted to make sure that there were strict guidelines that He set down, you know, for forbidding sexual practices that people may have been engaged in. And again, the Egyptians and the Canaanites worshiped pagan gods, and so they did all kind of things that were abomination in God's eyesight. And so God just wanted to make sure that the Israelites, as well as we as the people of God, abide by His rules and His guidelines.
Okay. Well, is there any verses that you maybe want to just kind of read that 31 verses? Do you have it divided up like you normally do?
No, it was just one whole thing, because it all talked about basically the same thing.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so I think this whole chapter, it really emphasizes a call to obedience to God's commands. Mm-hmm. And we see that coming out in these verses, as well as living according to his standards. I know I've said that probably four times since we started today, but, you know, oftentimes we want to set our own standards based upon what we see happening in the world. That's why it's important for us to understand and study that word, for it's clear that the word says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so we can read right past that and run right past it, just like we talked about with David, when God had to make him lie down in order for him to enjoy what he had already set in motion. And I think many times when we start looking at the world for our success and for what we think is success, we oftentimes neglect the high standard that God has already set in motion for the to bring the kind of success that will bring glory and honor to his name.
Amen.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we have to be mindful to keep God's ordinances and statutes and be obedient to his word.
Absolutely, absolutely. So you can pick it up and read if you would like, or we can just kind of continue to summarize some of these verses, and then we'll, I know we're just halfway in, and some people texting now trying to find out what happened with the Facebook feed, but we are not on Facebook, and we hope that those of you who are on the streaming side were able to switch over, and well, you probably did, because most of them are already on the streaming side. There are two different platforms that we have. And so you wouldn't be able to hear me on Facebook telling you to switch over. So I believe Theron has put out something to let the people know that are trying to figure out what happened. So, you know, the other thing, Lady Kim, here that I just took some notes of is that when we talk about a high standard and when we talk about what it means for us as believers, this high standard that God was setting for Israel and its leaders as well as the priests was for them to be a light that shines in darkness. And I think when we are obedient to God and we are intentional about our life lining up with his will, then our light should shine bright and it should be a standard for the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. And so you see the parallels from Old Testament to New, but the culture is of such where we have to make the necessary adjustments to apply that which he's already spoken of. God, Jesus said he came to fulfill the law, not to destroy it. And so we have to make sure that our lives are of such that we are faithful in keeping the same higher standard that he set in motion back then. And then our light should so shine in such a way that it's a reflection of the God that we serve.
Amen.
And so many people are in darkness. So many people are lost and looking for hope and looking for direction. And it's a terrible existence when, you know, you have to wake up every morning seeing how what the body count is from the night before, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's a sad day even in Memphis, Tennessee, when people can't even go and gather at the park and have a good time together without people shooting and killing and trying to get revenge and killing innocent lives and snatching our babies even before they have an opportunity to, you know, mature and to develop, because some of the kids who lost their lives probably had bright futures ahead of them. I can't even imagine how the families, you know, would feel and the trauma that they are experiencing because of a senseless act of violence.
Amen.
And so it's important for us as believers, and we hear the clarion call across the city for us to unite prayer and to, you know, stand in the power and the presence of God. But it just tears at our hearts when we see those that we are praying for, and we know that God is in control, but they have no regard for human dignity or life, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I think this leads me to what I was trying to express about our light has to shine bright. And we have to make sure that we continue to do our part in for those who are searching and seeking to come out of darkness, because some people are in situations where it's so dark that they can't even see clearly, you know, and they want to come out. And so...
And our light is the only light that they may ever see.
Yeah.
So we need to let our lights
absolutely
so shine.
Absolutely. So that's part of what I think he was trying to express to the children of Israel during this time by raising a higher standard and allowing them to be the focal point of seeing God in them, and perhaps helping those who were still wondering and trying to figure it out where they could gain hope and strength.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, even today, I think a lot of times we look at people who appear to be successful and people who seem to have arrived or achieved a measure of success. And many times people will say, I want to be like them. You know, that's what I want to be like. But no, we should look at God. God is the one that we should focus on, because in him we live, move, and have our being. And without him, we are nothing and can do nothing. So I think the highest standard is for us to want to be like God and not try to, you know, be like somebody else, because many times the things that people invest in terms of material possessions, they fade and they pass and they change, you know, the different designs and the different clothes and the fashion, all of that disappears. Some people try to hold on to stuff in their closet and hope it'll come back in style, you know? And so, but we serve a God who changes not. The Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And I think that ought to be our focal point, looking to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. So if anything happens in between that, we have confidence in knowing where we're going to spend eternity. This is not our final destination. Some people have invested so much in the world that they think that this is it. But this is not it. My Bible doesn't tell me that. And a lot of people who are searching and seeking for material success and success of the world sometimes have it twisted because they are not focusing in on what they should be. That's why the believer has to really maintain a level of integrity and discipline and allowing their lights to shine.
Amen.
I know I'm preaching to the choir, but I'm just saying what I'm saying.
Well, I know you said a lot in this few minutes that we've had, but again, the one thing that's important is that our relationship with God is right.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about that fourth verse about doing God's keeping God's ordinances.
Right.
And it also in the fifth verse talks about that we need to keep his statutes and his judgments.
Mm-hmm.
And if we do them, it says, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. So it just means that we are to keep his statutes and his regulations, and anyone who does not, and anyone who does shall live.
Okay.
By keeping them. So I don't want to say about the ones who do not, you know. But we also know that part of the Ten Commandments says, honor thy mother and father, that your days might be long on earth.
Yeah.
So if you honor your mother and father, that your days might be long. If you honor God,
right.
I believe your days can be long also on this earth. And so it talks about, again, the forbidden sexual practices, and that's what it really hammers home in this 18th chapter. And so a lot of people are doing a lot of things that they see the world doing.
Right.
But that doesn't make it right. The Bible also says, wide is the gate that leads to destruction, or broad is the gate that leads to destruction, but narrow is the path that leads to righteousness. So we need to make sure that we're walking the straight and narrow path and not that wide, broad path that leads to destruction.
All right, that's good. That's good. So, what would you kind of say as in terms of an attempt to really make this applicable to us today? And I think that's the relevance. I know he goes into talking about the different kinds of sexual acts that are prohibited and those that will be acceptable. You know, and so what would you challenge the people tonight who are viewing? What would be a word that would kind of carry them through?
Well, one thing that I can say is that in this chapter, it talks about what's prohibited. And there are a lot of things that are prohibited. But one thing that we know that is not prohibited is the relationship between a man and a woman. Mm-hmm. A husband and a wife.
Okay.
That is what is honorable before God. And if you don't even have to read in between the lines. Everything else in this 18th chapter is prohibited. Mm-hmm. Other than the relationship between a man and his wife. And so one of the things that we can take away is that God is God. He is the Lord of Lords. And that our lesson is one of humility. Humility is critical to be in good standing with God.
Okay.
It talked about how Aaron had to dress
mm-hmm.
Before the Lord and had to dress down from his formal priestly attire to a dress of a servant when he presented his priestly duties. And so on the Day of Atonement, when he made his sacrifices, he had to dress down in the Holy of Holies. And any pretense being a person of power or privilege needed to be, you know, shed in the face of God.
Okay.
So that God is God and we are not God, and that humility is critical to God, and that when it comes to relationships, our relationship should be one as of obedience to God.
Okay. All right. So part of what you said, and I think others maybe want to kind of raise this issue, if not, that God wants it to be a man and a woman and not animals or same sex and all of that. That's
yes.
what he's describing or
right.
prescribing here.
Right.
That transfers over for us as believers even.
Even today.
Even today.
And this 18th chapter talks about, you know, having relationships with animals. And,
right.
A man with a sister or with his siblings or
mm-hmm.
or anybody with their sibling, and you know, looking upon the nakedness of your mom or your dad, which is dishonorable, and,
mm-hmm.
and so it goes into all those things. That's why I said the only honorable thing is the relationship between the man and his wife.
So what is our attitude? And we've done some try to do training to help people understand those who don't understand what they are. We've done some teaching and mm-hmm. some studies to help the believer or to help us understand those who don't understand what God requires of them in terms of their behavior in the terms of their sexuality and all of that. That not making sense to you?
I'm trying to see the question.
Well, that's what I reversed back to kind of break that out because you like, I thought you went in the other room when you did all of this, you know. But I said, we understand what people don't understand.
So, oh, you're saying as people of God, we understand
right.
the precepts that other people don't understand.
That's right. That's what I was saying.
Okay, I got you.
That's all I was saying. And yes. So I've tried to back up to make that come out a little better than the way I first presented it. But the question would be, what is our behavior and how should we respond to those that don't understand? That's where I was going with all of that. You follow me now? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's the question.
So how are we to respond to them? Well, we ought to tell them what the Word of God says.
Okay.
You know, and let them know. And I think that's what the problem is now. We're reluctant to say, thus saith the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so we ought to tell people what the Word of God says and let the Word of God stand on its own and speak for itself.
Okay. And that's true. I believe that wholeheartedly. But I think there also needs to be, I'll do it this way. When we were at one of our churches in the earliest stages of our ministry, there were several converts that came from a different persuasion. One was Jehovah's Witness and the other was Seventh-day Adventist, I believe. And they came into the faith and wanted to understand the precepts because what they had been taught and what they had been involved in, it was almost like that was ingrained in them to us to an extent that it was hard for them to dismiss that and accept something new. And so We had to do what I call a re-and-D. We had to recreate something in them, and then we had to take away that which they had already learned. It was almost like helping them to unpack the new and to forget about the old, but it was so ingrained in them till it took a period of time. And I know for one gentleman that really wanted to accept the Christian faith, it was probably a two-year reprogramming and deprogramming of the things that he had already been established with in terms of his old ways. And so I'm saying that's true even today with those who have been ingrained in a belief and in a doctrine that's not aligned with the Word of God. Mm-hmm. We have to be patient. We have to show the kind of discipline necessary. We can't just say, you going to hell, and then if they don't turn around, then leave them alone. And the other thing about this whole information for me is that John 3:16 is so powerful and it's so relevant to us in terms of understanding the character of God, because he so loved the world, it didn't discriminate, it didn't put in alignment those who were lost or going through something where they had been indoctrinated into a belief. But he said he so loved the world, and so God's love is extended through us, and so that we can be expressions and manifestations of that love to help those who are struggling and trying to make sense of where do they fit and how do they get to know the power in the presence of God so that they can change.
Mm-hmm.
I said a whole lot, but you get my drift?
I do.
Okay.
Yes.
So
yes.
I'm saying it's not just a one-shot deal right. where we release them and we preach and we tell them what the Word says, but we have to be manifestations of the power and the presence of God and walk with them with diligence and with patience and with everything that God would have for us to do. And sometimes it's not our timetable, based upon the example I used with the two gentlemen at the church where we were. But and Andre's gone on to be with the Lord, and you know how desperately he wanted this thing, and how he was so attached to me, and it was not just preaching and teaching and trying to help him deprogram, but it was a lifestyle, it was a friendship, it was a relationship, it was man, you need to do this, you need to do that. It was none of that. It was giving him an opportunity for God to pull those scales off of his eyes so that he could truly see the presence of God and the power of God. Absolutely. Being manifest in his.
Yes.
So that's all I'm saying. It just takes time. Sometimes we don't get that, and sometimes we lose sight of that because of our, you know, haste to try to make people change their ways.
And I think the important thing that you brought out here is that you walked alongside of him until he began to understand the faith. And sometimes, you know, people have to see the God in you before their lives begin to take shape. So I think one of the things is that he saw how you walked and your belief and how you studied and how you handled the Word of God. And because of that, he wanted to know that same Jesus. And so it's important for us as believers to walk by faith, to walk the walk. Not only talk the talk, but to walk the walk.
That's right. That's right. All right. Well, Lady Kim, I think we've already summarized this 18th chapter, and we don't want to prolong the time. A lot of people we no doubt have missed because of the technical difficulties that we're having, and we thank God for those who are yet viewing on the streaming side, and I think they might be able to capture that and transfer it over to Facebook even after we have finished tonight. But we praise God for each of you tonight, and we know that there probably would have been some questions that we could have entertained to help people get clarity around. But keep in mind now, relationships are important to God. He's a God of relationships. The Bible is a book about relationships. There's nothing new under the sun, as Lady Kim has already indicated. The same things that they were, and the perversion that they were experiencing back then, is still present today. And God has already spoken to that, and he continues to speak to our behavior even today. And so we have to make sure that our lights are shining in such a way that we don't run people off, but that we draw them, and particularly those who are lost in darkness, and they don't know how to, you know, come out, or they don't know how to process the light. You can be in the dark so long, you would think that that's the only way to live. And so you can do wrong for so long that when right comes along, you won't even recognize it. Mm-hmm. Because you're accustomed to doing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's part of what the standard that we have to set before people that God requires of us.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
So you want to go ahead and do the prayer request. We're going to close out, and we'll pick it up next week, and hopefully we'll have a good connection with the 19th chapter. He continues to talk about some of the ceremonial laws and talk about morality and all of that in there.
Okay. Well, we only have one that we want to continue to lift up. Well, we have a lot that we want to continue to lift up. But Brother A.B. Anderson and the loss of his granddaughter, and their funeral was held this past Saturday in, I think it was Baline, Mississippi. And so...
Were you there when I was struggling with all of that at the end?
I heard you struggling with that at the end, yes. But you got it right.
They was helping me. Then some of them tried to take advantage of the fact that you weren't there. They calling out announcements from the floor
I heard you say that. You just, because Lady Kim right. in here, you just trying to take right. advantage right. of that. Right. Yes. But we want to let everybody know that there will be the disabilities workshop, disability awareness workshop, very important workshop this coming Saturday at the church at 10 o'clock a.m., sponsored by the Usher Ministry. And so we hope many of you will be there and support that and find out some valuable information. We want to be a more inclusive ministry.
Absolutely.
You know, we have...
Sensitive
to individual needs, and we do have some special needs population, a small special needs population within our congregation. And so we want to make sure that we're inclusive of everyone in our church. So come out on this Saturday at 10 o'clock for the disability awareness workshop. And then, of course, on Sunday morning, we have our Sunday school at 8:30 a.m., Sunday school for all ages, and then a 9:45 worship service.
Okay. All right. So, Lady Kim, it's so good to have you back, and the people miss you, as we indicated, your presence, as well as I won't do that, but we're so glad that you were able to complete your assignment that took 3.5 years. Did it seem like it was that long?
Yes, it did.
All right. But it's over.
But it's over. I'm glad it's over. And so say my name.
Dr. K is in the house.
In the house. Yeah. Dr. Kim, it is.
So ready for graduation and moving forward. Seeing what God will have for us, even as we continue to do the work
Amen.
That He's called us to do.
Amen.
Yeah,
Amen.
Yeah. All right. Well, you want to close us out if you have anything else?
Well, we want to lift up in our prayers also Reverend Sonia Walker and Sister Tina Jackson. They were in a fender bender on this evening, but they are. Okay, and they should be at home by now. So we just thank God for sparing their lives. Amen. The car was total.
Was it?
But they didn't walk away. They walked out of the hospital this evening. So we just thank God for that.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, that was the assignment that God had Lady Kim on earlier. And so we were yet... praying as she was making her hospital pastoral duties and being the friend that she is. And so, all right. Well, you want to close us out with prayer?
Let's pray. God, we thank you tonight. We bless you and we honor you, for you alone are worthy to be praised. God, we lift up our bereaved families to you, God. We lift up Brother A.B. Anderson and the loss of that granddaughter. We lift up my friend, Sister Rita and Reverend Elmer Shelton in the loss of their son-in-law, God. We ask that you would comfort them right now during this time of loss. Comfort their daughter, Lisa, God, and their children, Dallas and Dahlia, God, in the loss of their father and that husband. And we ask, God, that you would continue to be with them as they grieve that loss, the tragic loss. We pray for our city tonight, God, the gun violence and the violence that's going on in our city. We ask, God, that you would stay the hand of the enemy in the name of Jesus. We thank you for watching over and protecting Reverend Sonia and my sister Tina, God, as they drove tonight, God, and were in an accident. We thank you for putting your angels of protection around them, and we thank you for surrounding them with good doctors and nurses who cared for them. And we ask, God, as we
close this Bible study tonight, that you would continue to walk and be with us as a church family. Bless our pastor tonight. Continue to crown his head with wisdom and knowledge, oh God. Keep your arms of protection around him. Keep his body healthy, oh God, and strong as he walks after you, oh God, and searches after your word and your will and your way. And we thank you tonight, God, that we are blessed to be a blessing, God. We thank you, oh God, that you have allowed us to go forth as a church ministry for 24 years, oh God, to do the things in the community that you have called us to do. So God, as we go forth on tonight, we thank you, we bless you, we honor you. We ask your blessings to be upon the workshop this weekend and our services that will happen this weekend. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And praise God. All right.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. Have a good night.
See you next week.